Lord, indeed, you are our story and you are our song. Lord, in fact, you are our life. And we thank you, Lord, for the life that you've given us and for the life that you're living in us and the life we're allowed to share with you. Thank you for this miracle of new birth. Thank you for the blessings of the new covenant. Thank you for the privilege of coming together to remember you through this communion service, for remembering why we are and how we got to be how we are. We thank you for all that you have done and continue to do. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. And all that we've needed, your hand has provided. Miracle after miracle, way after way, valley, hill, mountain, whatever. We thank you for how you have been with us and your promise that I will be with you even to the end of the age. So we commit this time now as we look into your word together. We commend it to your grace. We ask that your spirit would have your own way. You are the potter, and we are the clay. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You may be seated and welcome to Communion Sunday. This is a time to remember Jesus' love for us as demonstrated by what he did for us on the cross. A time to remember it and a time to appreciate the gift of life that he paid for with his own blood. I'm glad you're here, and for those of you who are joining us, we're glad you're there. And we're thankful to God for the privilege to come together this fourth Sunday of March. And I always say that if there is a Sunday that you're going to attend church and there's only one in the month, make sure that it's the fourth Sunday. And if there's one that you're going to tune into and you have to miss all the other three or the other three of the month, make sure it's the fourth Sunday. Because this is a time when we come together to say thank you to the Lord for the joy of knowing him. We come together to thank him for what he did, but we also come together to thank him for what we have because of what he did. We come together to remember the specific benefits of the new covenant, which is in his blood, which is what he said, take this and drink it. This is the new covenant in my blood. And there are features to that new covenant, and they're endless features. The scripture calls them the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so when we come together on communion, it's not just about thinking about Jesus on the cross and dying. It is certainly that, and we want to say thank you to him for that. But we also want to appreciate why he did it. We want to appreciate the gift that hanging on the cross purchased for us. And that is the new covenant. That is what he was doing, entering for us a new way of interacting with God, a new relationship with God, a new status with God. And so that's why we come together. Now, I have some things that I want to say to you, but I don't want to structure them this morning. I don't want to organize them. I don't want you to go to your notes and just write point one, point two, point three, point four, point five. I like to do that, but that's not what this morning's message is going to look like. So I want you to think of today's message as either a collage or a kaleidoscope. And I want you to think of it under the title of what a life, what a gift, what a God, what a life. What a gift, What a God. Don't try to organize them into clear and distinct points, but look at them as individual patterns and individual pictures. Or think of them as portraits in a gallery. We move from one picture to the next, one painting to the next. And I will guide you from one painting to the next. But the gallery is called What a Life, What a Gift, What a God. So here's the first painting. Our Bible study series on Thursday night for the past few weeks has been titled Thriving in Chaos and Confusion. And I introduced last week's study with these words. Real talk. Real faith requires real talk. Platitudes might suit polite company, but they don't lead us to a faith that thrives in chaos and confusion. Truth is the path that takes us there. Truth may be raw, but it doesn't need to be crass. It may sting, but it doesn't have to wound. While truth can feel out of reach, it doesn't have to be destructive. In essence, honesty and spirituality are not at odds at all. Truth is neutral. It isn't inherently good or bad. It simply reveals what is. Our thoughts can wander into sin, and our actions can follow. But the truth about those thoughts and actions, that holds value in God's eyes. It's food for faith to grow on. And that's why the Lord treasures those who worship Him in spirit and truth, and why He delights in truth at the very core of our being, or the innermost being. He longs for our unfiltered, sincere selves, because even when truth exposes our flaws, it brings us closer to Him, and He can handle it. So I said to the gang, tonight we're going there. As we talk about finding strength in chaos and uncertainty. See, the truth about truth is that it doesn't always fit into neat, tidy packages. And so our goal tonight at Bible study is not to pretend that it does. Instead, to rest in the fact that it doesn't have to. In addition to the questions below, I will have a couple of extra logs for the fire of our discussion to keep it real. But you know, that's not just for Bible study. I was thinking about that. That's not just contained or confined to Bible study. It's about everyday life in the Lord, keeping it real. And it's about our relationships with one another, keeping it real. So what's real for me today? My wife asked me this morning as I was making coffee, she said, How is the man I love doing today? And I said, how is the woman I love doing this day? And she said, I asked you first. And I said, the man that you love is doing fine. And she went back to the bedroom. But just a few minutes earlier, just before she walked in, I was praying and I was talking to the Lord. And I said to Him, Lord, I'm struggling today. I'm struggling today. And I said, I want to surrender to Your love, not to my fears. They're there. And I see them. And I hear them. I hear them calling my name. And I remembered a prayer that I wrote as I spoke to the Lord about that. I remembered a prayer, a poem prayer that I wrote. And it goes like this. How loosely fits the mask of strength. We are all such fragile beings, vulnerable scared, and briefly present in this great arena called life. And God's divine response, I wrote, is, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So the conclusion, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. And I said, you know what? I don't want to wear the mask of strength. So I went back into the bathroom, the bedroom where Laverne had gone. I went back and I said, the man you love is struggling today. And I said, so pray for me. And she said, I have been. God is doing something wonderful in me. That's the song, George. God is doing something wonderful in me. I want to say that one more time. And I want you to hear it one more time. And more importantly, I want you to believe it. God is doing something wonderful in me. I can't explain it. All I can say is that he's moving me forward. And he's moving stuff around. He's rearranging stuff. And I don't know what he's doing. I just see his elbows and I just see him moving his arms and he's doing something. He's doing something. And I ask for your prayers. And I ask for your patience. And I ask for your thanksgiving to God, specifically for the new thing that he's doing in me. That's, I really want you to thank him for the new thing, the new mysterious, uncomfortable, scary, I don't know what's happening thing that he's doing in me. I want you to thank him for that. I want you to thank him for the forward position that he's taking me to. And he's taking me there. And I ask you not to fret about me. Pray. Don't fret. God's doing a new thing in me. I'm in a good place. And I feel like it's a good place. I feel the vibrancy of it. I feel the excitement. I feel anticipation. That's what I'm feeling even as the ground is shifting. And I'm swaying in the rumblings of it all. That's painting one. Here's painting two. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Just before Jesus died, he uttered the words, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I am finished," as in, I'm about to die. I'm finished. It's over. Here we go. He said, it is finished. He knew he had much more to do. So he wasn't finished. It was finished. But he wasn't. He had more stuff ahead of him. And he knew it because he told his disciples about it before he went to the cross. I've got other stuff to do, like rising from the dead. Like appearing among you now for 40 days after I rose from the dead to make sure that you know that it's me and that you're not having a hallucination, or that you're not going crazy, rising from the dead. And I've got to ascend to my Father in full view of you and cause you to look and marvel and be dazzled by this guy who walked with us for all these years, and now he's ascending. This is too much to take in. First, he's back from the dead, and now he's ascending before us into heaven. And that's not all. Because now here's two angels standing there saying, why are you looking up there? Where'd you guys come from? This is too much to take in. That same Jesus that you see going up and ascending will come back in the same way. He had more to do. He had to send his Spirit, because he told them, I'm going to leave you, but I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. When the Holy Spirit comes, I will send him to you. He will be with you, and he'll be in you, and he will guide you into all truth. I will not leave you as orphans, and he will be with you forever. So it is finished didn't mean I'm finished. He had more to do, like preparing a place for us. I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be there also. And ultimately, the scripture says that he's coming back, and every eye will see him. As the lightning strikes from the east to the west, so will the Son of Man be in his return. So he wasn't close to being finished. But what was finished when he said those words, what was finished was it. It is finished. Not me, but it. And that's why we're here. We're here because it was finished. Because it was complete. Because it was done. Because there was nothing more that he needed to add to it. I took care of it. When I died, it was done. It was finished. And there's nothing anybody can do to change it. And there's nothing you can do to change it. Why? Because it is finished. Finished means complete. When you have a work going on in your house and the job and the guys, the repairman says, it's finished, I'm done, what's happening? He's packing up his tools, he's taking stuff up, he's leaving, and he's not planning to be back. Now, unfortunately, sometimes we got to call them back. But when Jesus said it was finished, he took up all his tools and stuff. He went back to heaven, and he did not come. He didn't need to come back to touch anything up. Oops, I forgot that. I mean, you know, that left that. I didn't. You know, I forgot that. No, it is finished. It is finished. And it was the payment for our sins. And it was all the requirements for our redemption. All that was necessary for mankind to enter into a brand new relationship with God. A brand new relationship of sonship. A brand new relationship of daughterhood. A brand new relationship of being fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. Of citizens of heaven, of new creatures. Here's the third painting from Friday. With thanksgiving for the honor, I enter your presence, Lord. I wrote this in my personal time. With thanksgiving for the honor, I enter your presence, Lord, and I remove my sandals, because your love for me is as awesome as is your power. Your love for me is as awesome as your wisdom. Your love for me is as awesome as anything in the observable universe, and nothing is more glorious than your love for me, because it was your love that motivated you to send your only Son to redeem us. It was your love that prompted Jesus to accept that mission and to endure the suffering, to see it through, and to finish the job. Eternal life is the gift that Jesus died to give us. But it comes with a lot of marvelous accessories. That's the basic gift. You've been given eternal life. But it's more than just heaven one day. It has a lot of marvelous accessories, a lot of attachments that come with it that we can use and that we can benefit from and that we can thank God for in this life. The Holy Spirit is one of those benefits. God's living presence in us is one of those benefits. Fellowship with one another is one of those benefits, whether that's one on one or whether that's over lunch or by a phone call, or whether it's in Sunday service like this or a smaller group like the men's or women's groups or Sunday school or Bible study, coming together in Christ with a common bond is one of those special accessories that goes along with eternal life. I got this very affirming letter about my leadership of Bible study from one of our dear sisters. I don't want to embarrass her, but I thanked her. And I said to her, see, what I want you to understand, though, is I really do believe that the body, as it says in Ephesians 4:16, the body builds itself up in love. That all of the excitement and joy that you're experiencing in Bible study is coming from the body. All I do is come up with some questions that are designed to poke the body a little bit. I poke the body and they all start talking. And it's all of what they're experiencing collectively about the Lord that is causing this amazing energy and excitement that you're experiencing. And you don't even know, dear sister, that you're a big part of it. Fellowship. And the questions are designed to not just help us, you know, give the right answers. The questions are designed to help us to explore and share our relationship with Christ. So fellowship is another one of those benefits. A personal reservation in heaven. Heaven's going to consist of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Such all-encompassing diversity. And there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ. No one has any disadvantages because of race, class, nationality, or gender. In other words, equality. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Universal inclusion. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And here's the fourth painting. Brother texted me with a link to a song. And he added, Pastor, don't be offended. And so he showed me this.
Thank you, Jesus. Rip Breakers, Nikki Gracious.
First off, Lord, thank you for my life. I thank you for my sin that you put out of your sight. Never thought that that could happen, Father God, I'm so ashamed. Memories of what I did always rushing through my brain. It's hard to wrap my mind around how you could just forgive. Can't comprehend the fact that you would even let me live. You know all of the secrets I keep hidden in the dark. All the evil desires that keep on lurking in my heart. Lord, take it from me, cause I hate it that I'm ugly. It's hard to talk to people cause I know that they would judge me. They probably say I need to be locked up inside a cell. He's sick inside his head and he ain't ever gonna get well. They say that I should die and that would probably be the truth. He ain't fit for society, his confession is the proof. So I keep it to myself cause I'm scared of what they'll say. I reveal myself to you cause I know you gon' make a way. This I pray, if it's one thing you gon' do is make a way. That you lead me to a home where I can stay. That you hear me when I come to you with tears. And share the pain with you I faced throughout the years. This I pray, I asked you to kill me and then you did. You had to kill me so I could live. This I pray, everything you show to me I will remember. And that you love me even though I'm still a sinner. These voices in my head, you hear them too. They persecuting me and they persecuting you. Was diagnosed a paranoid schizophrenic. Tried taking the medicine, now I'm doing it organic. Ain't completely recovered, but God, I'm trusting in your plan. You showed me your light and I put my life inside your hands. People think I'm crazy when I tell them what I've seen. Not the visions or the trances, ain't talking about the dreams. I'm talking about the watchers, Lord, I seen them with my eyes. The way you showed me, they was connected to my mind. Enlighten me, Father, I know you showed me for a reason. I picked up on a pattern, seen the signs of the season. And now I'm scared to death for all the souls of my people. Let them think that I'm crazy. The way you rescued them from evil, you handed me the keys and said, drive while you can. I hope I don't crash, give me the strength to be a man. This I pray, if it's one thing you gon' do is make a way. That you lead me to a home where I can stay. That you hear me when I come to you with tears. And share the pain with you I faced throughout the years. This I pray, I asked you to kill me and then you did. You had to kill me so I could live. This I pray, everything you show to me I will remember. And that you love me even though I'm still a sinner. I pray you reunite me with my son. And my daughters don't hate me for everything that I've done. Protect him from evil, Jesus, I'm begging you for this. Let me tell him I'm sorry for everything that I missed. Show him you can do miracles, how you heal the broken vessel. Let him call out to you and help him fight against the devil. I pray for my mama, she finally gave her heart to you. Now I pray that my daddy gonna do the same thing too. My sister's still struggling, God, I hope you intervene. Protect my grams and show them all you still the king. I pray for all my friends who struggle with drug addiction. Help Latami and Kelly, Father, you know I really miss them. Bless Jimmy Graham for all the prayers on my behalf. Help Robert with driving, God, I can't wait to see him laugh. And finally, Lord, I pray you help my stinking baby. I thank you for making me a special kind of crazy. This I pray, if it's one thing you gon' do is make a way. That you lead me to a home where I can stay. That you hear me when I come to you with tears. And share the pain with you I faced throughout the years. This I pray, I asked you to kill me and then you did. You had to kill me so I could live. This I pray, everything you showed to me I will remember. And that you love me even though I'm still a sinner.
So after listening to it, I texted him back. I said, why would I be offended? Nothing but raw sincerity and heart here, brother. Thanks for sharing the encouraging word. And the brother wrote back. He said, well, I was concerned. A little bit of rough words there, but it was heartfelt and it was very relatable for me. And I said, did you notice how the first part of his prayer is about recognizing and receiving God's love for him? And then his prayers go out for his daughter, for his son, the guy who prayed for him, his sister, his mama. And that's why I said, spiritual maturity is about growing in the knowledge of how much we matter to God. Because when we grasp that, and as it grows in our hearts, the love of God automatically begins radiating out to others. This, I pray, is an excellent example of that truth. So I'm not the least bit offended, brother. I may even use it as an illustration in one of my upcoming messages, maybe next Communion Sunday. And he said, I'm honored to be blessed by your knowledge and you. Thank you for this. You help my uncertainty in spirit and faith. And I said, nothing but his love, brother. Nothing but his love. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what your profile is. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the deal. And it is finished. It's done. So have you called on the name of the Lord? Have you called on the name of the Lord? What does that mean? What does it look like? Jesus was hanging on the cross. There were two thieves on either side of him. And one of them said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And that's all he knew to say. He didn't know a bunch of verses. He did not know the Romans road. Jesus didn't pull out a little pamphlet and start going through it page by page with him. Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. If it was good enough for him, it's good enough for you. If it was good enough for that thief, hanging on the cross, it's good enough for you. Because it's not the words you say. It's the sincerity of the faith that you place in him. That's what does it. Most of us in this room didn't know the gospel when we received it. Most of us knew that we needed God. Jesus died for our sins. We had some vague idea, but we didn't have a systematic view of it. We couldn't flip to 17 different verses and point it all out. What saved you? Was it the words you used, or was it the faith that you placed in him? And so, have you called on the name of the Lord? If you haven't, you don't have to be fancy schmancy. This I pray. Jesus, I need you. I need you. And I know I need you. I don't even know all the ways I need you. I just know that there's something in me that I can't fix. There's something in me that I can't heal. There's a scratch that I can't reach. There's a hunger that I cannot feed. There's a thirst that I cannot quench. There is something in me that you have that I can't get from any other place. Jesus, I need you. And you know what that gives us? Immutable favor with God. It gives us free and confident access to God. And the Bible calls all these accessories that I'm mentioning and that I cannot even begin to fully enumerate the unsearchable riches of Christ. And here's the final painting. God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When I take communion, which we're about to do, when I take communion with the bread, I am reaffirming my faith in God's love for me. as demonstrated by Jesus' voluntary dying, laying down his life. One of the most important ways we can honor the Lord's sacrifice for us is by trusting in his love for us. Trusting in the love that caused him to sacrifice for us, which is the reason he died. His death on that cross said louder than any words he could speak, "I love you, and here's my proof." Says it louder than anything else he can do for us, "I love you, and here is my proof." And one of the most important ways that we can say thank you and honor him is to believe in that love, to trust. When they're singing about just trust him, what are we trusting? Not just in his ability to do something, but we're trusting in his heart. Yeah. We're trusting in who he is, not just what he can do. We're trusting in who he is, whether he does it or not. We're trusting that he loves us no matter what. And the proof, again, is the cross. So that's how we honor him. When I take the cup, I'm affirming that Jesus' blood is the only remedy for my sin. Not my works plus Jesus' blood. Not my good behavior plus Jesus' blood. Not my spiritual discipline in Jesus' blood. Not my obedience to act like a great Christian and Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood alone. And I affirm that Jesus' blood is not only the only remedy for my sin, it's the only basis for God's eternal favor. It's the only thing I'm counting on to hear from him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It's because of my faith, not because of my works. May I never boast in anything but the cross of Christ. Nothing else. I put no confidence in the flesh, none. None, not even a little bit. Just the cross. Just the blood of Jesus. So when we take the bread, we're saying, "Thank you for your love for me, Jesus." And we take the cup, we're saying, "Thank you for the covenant that has completed my redemption." Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's my gallery tour for you. We're going to have communion now.